I'll invite you, please, to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, please. You will recognize the story of the healing of that paralytic. Perhaps this man was a paraplegic. And he was carried by four men. And he was lowered down in the house where Jesus was speaking. So in Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 17, we read this. Now it happened on a certain day, as Jesus was speaking, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by. They had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And mark this phrase. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Indeed." But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," Jesus said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately, the man rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." You see, every one of us appreciates resourcefulness in life, don't we? We honor a person's ability to find solutions in complex and difficult situations. In the sphere, very few of us, however, think that God appreciates the same type of resourcefulness in the sphere of faith. The passage before us teaches us the value and benefit of spiritual resourcefulness when God offers us the opportunity. To focus your spiritual lenses on the subject, allow me to ask you this question. What do you think is the primary, most distinctive message that Christianity should proclaim? Is it a code of ethics? No. There are many false religions that also propose ethical codes. And in fact, their codes may be even stricter or more burdensome than the moral expectations and behavior of Christianity. So what is it then? Is it eternal bliss? Is eternal bliss the most distinctive message of Christianity? No. Many false religions promise the same, even though they cannot deliver it. The primary, most distinctive message of Christianity is forgiveness of sin by faith in the vicarious atonement of Jesus Christ. That's unique, and that's the key. All the other things are accessories to that. There's the desire to be holy must constantly occupy our thoughts. It must be our relentless pursuit. In the story before us, forgiveness of sin is central. There, God is predisposed to heal spiritually. Verse 17 says, "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." The Lord was predisposed to heal the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. But they had no faith to grab the opportunity. The physical healing of the paralytic man occurred to illustrate the Lord's authority to forgive sins. The Lord said it himself in verse 24. He says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he turned to the paralytic and said, "I'm going to heal you physically." After he had already said earlier, "Your sins are forgiven." Lord is predisposed, but only the resolute in faith takes advantage of the opportunity. Let us decipher the circumstances surrounding the story. Jesus was in Capernaum, where he had established his headquarters. Capernaum being in Galilee, where the Lord ministered, he went back and forth to Capernaum whenever he was doing his Galilean ministry, which is the ballpark of the Gospels. Luke chapter 4, verse 31 places him there. It says, "Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee." And Luke chapter 5, verse 17 presumes him to be there. It says that Jesus had become so popular that he attracted a big audience that had come out of every town of Galilee, of Judea, or even Jerusalem, to Capernaum. And in this instance, Jesus was inside a house. And most of the crowd was outside, pressing against each other at the entrance. Each person was present for his or her own interest. Some were there out of curiosity, and others were there to observe, and even others to seek help. And regardless of the particular interest of each person, God was offering an opportunity to each and all of them. Again, in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, "The power of the Lord was present to heal them." Literally, it could be rendered this way: the power of the Lord was unto healing. That's what the power of the Lord was focusing on. That was the opportunity. God was predisposed to heal. But what kind of healing was God predisposed to give on that day? According to verse 20, I could answer that question. Any healing which one's faith might have requested. Spiritual healing first, and certainly, as we look at the story, physical healing. As we look at this, we have to recognize that the power of God was, as Scripture says, predisposed. It was predisposed to do good things to man, to restore man. It was an opportunity for all. But only those who exercise faith would grab that opportunity. The story is telling us the trophy of faith went to one who would have been the least expected to get it, the least likely, a paralyzed man on a stretcher. Many before him could have grabbed the opportunity to be healed. Pharisees and teachers of the law, verse 17. Mentions ordinary people among the crowd who live in the area who had heard Jesus many times. Sick people all needed the manifestation of the Lord's power. Few took advantage of the opportunity. Why? They needed each one, and each one needed one important element: faith. A resourceful faith. A faith that will be authenticated by their actions. A faith that is dead without the emanating works. A resourceful faith. I have three things to put before you this morning, and I'll begin with this one, my friend. The power of the Lord is always available to those who want to benefit from it. But it is often more manifest on some occasions rather than others. While you sleep, or when you are driving, while you are eating, or when you are showering, that somehow there is a strike of the Holy Spirit on your mind. While at work or at the store, the power of the Lord is always available. But somehow there are occasions when it is most manifest, when it appears more potent. It may be when a sermon is preached that the Holy Spirit impresses more than he would in other occasions. God, in his wise and holy counsel, sometimes designates a time when the opportunity of his power to heal you spiritually is more intense than at other occasions. For example, it is said in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, today, you see this? Today, if you hear, will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, emphasizes even more God's intention in designating time when he offers greater opportunity for repentance for forgiveness of sin. You see, the verse says, again, he designates a certain day. You see this? He designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Oh, yes, the power of God is always present to heal you spiritually, to save you. But sometimes God decides to increase the decibel. And faith does not let that time, good, genuine faith does not let that time go by. Faith does not harden his or her heart. Faith grabs the opportunity. A person may come to church unassumingly, and then he hears a sermon and falls under conviction. Why? Because the power of the Lord was strong and that person's faith responded. Yet another person may be equally convicted and does nothing about it. And the power of the Lord will be there to heal him or her. And he or she does not take the opportunity to be healed spiritually. And friend, today, if you hear his voice, do not let the moment go by. You hear his voice, know that the power of the Lord is unto healing you. But let me tell you this that we get from the text. Let me say that those who have faith will always detect the spiritual opportunities from the power of the Lord. The passage presents three entities that have the opportunity to be healed: the religious leaders, the common people in the crowd, and this paralytic man. Yet only the latter grabbed the opportunity. The others missed it. And this we can learn. The religious leaders had a great opportunity to be healed by the power of the Lord, but their pride prevented them. Oh, how great the opportunity was. The opportunity for these religious leaders to be healed spiritually was great indeed. One of the aspects of that opportunity was their knowledge. They already knew Scripture, that Scripture that taught them to look for the Messiah. They studied it daily. They were taught by the great, the Gamaliel, the Hillel, and more. They had knowledge. Oh, they also had shown diligence. Verse 7 says that they came out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. They showed interest. They traveled from afar to witness the moment, to be exposed to the opportunity. You would think, after so much diligence, that they would have made the most of the opportunity, right? Here's a third point of encouragement for them to grab the opportunity. It was their position. They were elevated religiously and socially. Therefore, they were the first to be served. The Lord gave them special attention. They were at the top of the line. A fourth point of opportunity was their proximity. They were inside the house, close to Jesus himself, looking at his face and the expression of the expression of his face. They were not outside where they could barely hear what Jesus was saying. No, verse 17 says they were sitting by. They were nearby. Despite such a marvelous opportunity to be healed by the power of the Lord, they missed it. They failed. And what was their point of failure? The pride of intellectualism. Verse 21 says, and the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason, not to have faith, but to reason. Who is this, having presumed that Jesus could not be God? Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Yada. Their prejudice was too strong. They profiled the one who spoke with prejudice. they profiled him with prejudice. They reasoned out the evidence about him. They felt too educated to allow themselves to be taught. They did not believe they needed forgiveness. Man, do we have that in our society. Do you see in the election, they say, the college-educated people. And every time I hear this, I say, the dumbest people in our country. They make the most stupid decisions because they rely upon, oh, I know, nobody can teach me anything. They reason the evidence. They did not believe that they needed forgiveness. Oh, I have knowledge. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. They missed the opportunity because of the arrogance of their education. Isn't it the curse of our society today? People think they know too much to allow God to teach them. They miss the opportunity for the power of the Lord to heal them. The pride of the Pharisees and teachers is not the only stumbling block to faith in this passage. Here's the second one, that of the crowd. The crowd also had a great opportunity to be healed by the power of the Lord, but their curiosity gave them a false sense of satisfaction. I came to see, I saw, I'm good. Look how great the opportunity was for them. They lived in the very town where Jesus had established his headquarters. Imagine, Jesus preached often in Capernaum. You find him in the synagogue, in houses, in the streets. Many of them had crossed him in the streets. They were exposed to Jesus a lot. And their interest was also great. Just like the Greeks who spent their time in Athens receiving and giving news, so were these people. Verse 19 tells us that that crowd was dense. They were drawn, pressing against each other, blocking the entrance of the house. And that very curiosity of theirs was also their failure and their downfall. They were simply impressed by the spectacular, but not transformed by it. Verse 26 tells us, and they were all amazed. They were amazed. And they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. And that's where it stopped. No healing. No faith, just amaze. No faith, just a religious experience. They glorified God for the spectacular, but God was not glorified in them. You see, friend, church attendance by itself is not faith. Being amazed by Scripture and glorifying God are not by themselves faith. Faith grabs the opportunity that God grants to receive spiritual healing. It does not simply come to grab the spectacular. Thank God we have this paralytic and the four men carrying him to show us what resourceful faith really is. And that's the third. The paralyzed man had much less opportunity to be healed by the power of the Lord, but with resourceful faith, he grabbed that opportunity and will not let it go. Luke paints a bleak picture of the options or opportunities that that man had. One, access was nearly impossible. The crowd was dense. The Pharisees and teachers took the first spots. The house was small. The doorways were occupied. No access. And second, he could not do anything by himself or for himself. He was at the mercy of the stretcher and of the man carrying him. And the third impediment was the most damaging of him, of it all. Sin. The passage implies that this man was paralyzed because of his sin. And that restoration was possible only through forgiveness of sin. Verse 20, the Lord looked at that man, and the first thing he says, man, your sins are forgiven you. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus will explain to the disciples that not all physical ailments result from personal sin. It was not directly because of personal sin that the Tower of Siloam fell on many people and killed them. That's what he told the disciples. It was not because of that man's personal sin that he was born blind in Luke. But there are illnesses that result from God's punishing people. It is not for us to judge whether a person's pain and suffering are a result of that person's sins or not. That's not for me to judge. That person's faith must sort this out. In the case of this paralytic, it was his sin that made him crippled, and Jesus knew that. It was his faith that made him whole. He was penitent. He was repentant. He would not let any obstacle deter him. And the faith that recognized that only God can forgive sins in Christ Jesus, that faith does not procrastinate. That faith does not relent before obstacles. That faith does not adjourn until tomorrow. That faith would be resourceful enough to take advantage of the moment, of today, of the power of the Lord that is present now to heal. And with this, let me present to you a third point of truth about resourceful faith. It is this. Genuine faith is always, always resourceful in pursuing the blessings of the power of the Lord despite the odds. Genuine faith is never idle. It's never passive. Regardless of the odds, genuine faith finds a way to benefit from the power of the Lord. Let me tell you a few elements from this. When the power of the Lord impresses your heart, my friend, if you get under conviction of sins, then act on it. The Bible emphasizes strongly that a person who is saved, that a person who is saved does sin. You do sin after you've been saved. And he or she must repent and confess. When the power of the Lord is unto healing you from your sins, if you have genuine faith, you will not recoil from the demands of that faith that faith imposes upon you. No. Take Zacchaeus as an example. He knew that he had sinned. He had loved money so much that he committed fraud and extortion. But when the power of the Lord offered him the opportunity to repent, his faith became very resourceful. He was short. He could not see. But that impediment did not deter him. He went ahead of the path where Jesus was going to pass. He climbed a tree, and upon repentance, he offered a restitution of 5 times what he had stolen. You see, faith does not recoil from any obstacle in order to genuinely manifest itself when the power of the Lord is present to heal. No excuses. And for reasons often known only to God, sometimes Christ makes heavy demands from people who say they have faith to repent. You look at it and say, why do you have to require all of that, Lord? To the rich man who asked what to do to inherit eternal life, Christ said, obey the commandments. He said, well, easy. I have been obeying since my childhood, Christ said. Have you? Go and sell all you have and give to the poor. You see, the power of the Lord was present, available to heal that young man. But his faith allowed the truth to deter him. That faith was not resourceful. Instead, that young man went away. He was profoundly sorrowful. You see, resourceful faith grabs the opportunities. When Philip witnessed to the Ethiopian eunuch, it was his faith that was resourceful enough to find a way to be obedient. It was he who said, here's water. What then could prevent me from being baptized? And Philip said, well, if you believe, let's do it. I believe, let's do it. Faith will find the argument to manifest itself, never the excuse to derail itself. If the Lord said, I cannot take the food of the children to give to the dogs, you know what resourceful faith responds? Resourceful faith is not deterred. Resourceful faith will respond, dogs can eat crumbs. And you know what the Lord answers to such a resourceful faith? Nowhere in Israel have I seen such a faith. Resourceful faith is not deterred by obstacles. It does not seek excuses to abandon and go away. It does find a way to grab the healing opportunity that the power of the Lord has granted. But let me tell you this. When the power of the Lord impresses your heart, you will associate with those of the same faith to persevere together. Verse 20 says, when he, Christ, saw their faith. It was not simply the faith of the paralyzed man that acted that day. It was equally the faith of the four men carrying the stretcher. It was a commonwealth of faith. You know, God does not heal a church simply on account of the faith of the pastor alone. It must be a commonwealth of faith. While one person can destroy God's work, it generally takes the collectivity of faith in order for the Lord to build it. The desperate eyes of that paralyzed man showed that he wanted to repent. And here is a man who had been deceitful. He played with the fire of sin until sin had destroyed him. He was paralyzed. He could hardly do anything for himself. Around him were Pharisees, teachers of the law, people who have been more religious than anybody could describe. And what made the difference between the two at the moment that the power of the Lord was present to heal them? The difference was faith, a resourceful faith at that. A faith that is not deterred by obstacles. A faith that acted on the opportunity the Lord gave. How could a man say he believes in hell if he does not do all he can to grab faith in the hand of Christ who is trying to rescue him from hell? How could a woman say she believes in God's judgment on the wicked if she does not accept by faith the offer of forgiveness through repentance that the power of the Lord can apply to her soul? How can any person say he or she believes in the eternal reward God graciously grants to the righteous if he or she does not show any resourcefulness of faith to be eligible to receive those rewards? And here's a third lesson to learn here about resourceful faith. When the power of the Lord grabs your heart, you will recognize that some situations require more resourcefulness of faith than others in order for faith to be completely manifest. Faith recognizes when it needs to up the stake. Wow, this one is tough. We need to go further about this. You know, some aspects of life can be easy faith. Other situations of life are more complex. They demand more thoughts, more understanding, more prayer, more resolve. For sure, it takes faith to live a steady Christian life day by day, yes. To come to church faithfully Sunday after Sunday, yes. To give in the offering plate, yes. To reward the servants of the Lord in a manner that is equitable, yes, it takes faith. But it requires greater resourcefulness of faith, however, to come to church when the attendance is small. When business is so good that it consumes you 7 days a week. Faith must be more resourceful to be genuine faith when you have become more educated and have been elevated in ranks. Faith must be more resourceful to benefit from the power of the Lord when it faces challenges than when it does not. What shall we say from all of this, brethren? This paralyzed man did not look at his own condition or situation. He did not look at the nobility that surrounded him. Those like the Pharisees were somewhat entitled to be there. He did not look at the house which somehow he might have to repair later. No, he did not look at the possibility of being judged by this very Lord against whom he had sinned before. No, the power of the Lord was unto healing. In resourcefulness of faith, he was determined to grab the opportunity. There are cases in the Christian life, my friend, that only a resourceful faith, a resolute faith, a faith that will not back down can help overcome. If it were out of pride or curiosity that this man wanted to see Jesus, he would have abandoned at that first obstacle. But because his faith was genuine, he found a way, against all odds, to see Jesus. As Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10 says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. How often the Lord talks to people and says, oh, ye of little faith. You needed to put a little bit more oomph to that faith, and you did not. The faith that fails in the day of adversity is indeed small. The degree of one's faith is proportional to the obstacle that upsets it, that makes him abandon the opportunity to be healed by the power of the Lord. There are obstacles a believer may face in life to which the pastor has no answer and no comment, and regarding which the pastor cannot force you one way or another. It is all between you and your Lord. Only the resourcefulness of your faith will lead you to find a way. Could I take a few examples? What about the opportunity to take responsibilities in the church when you are already overloaded with personal business responsibilities? The pastor cannot force you one way or another. He may ask you a few questions, but only in your faith would you understand what the Lord wishes for you to do. That's between you and your Lord. What about being faithful in church attendance when you have pressures from life work? Only in your own faith would you understand whether the Lord wants you to draw back or to pursue greater ministry responsibilities. That's not for me to judge. What about making time to have personal devotion with God daily when you can hardly remain awake at your job? Resourceful faith finds a way to both give to Caesar what is to Caesar and to God what is to God. What about witnessing to the unsaved despite being an introvert in personality? Resourceful faith finds a way to do what God expects from every believer, which is to go tell the world that you are a Christian. What about making things right in your life? You see, as tough as it is for human beings to humble themselves, resourceful faith finds a way to accept personal responsibility for wrongs committed, and they find a way to pursue peace. You see, no pastor can make you do these things. In fact, as pastor, we love you so much that we can be like those brethren who are trying to keep Paul from going to Jerusalem after the prophet had taken his belt and said that the person to whom this belt belongs is going to suffer a lot at the hands of the Romans if he goes to Jerusalem. They put their gracious hands to bar him from going to Jerusalem and get hurt. Out of love for you, my first inclination would be to keep you away from harm, to protect you, to lighten the load. But what if God going to Jerusalem and being hurt is what God wants for you? And Paul responded that he was willing not only to go get hurt there, but even to die, because he knew in his faith that is what God wanted for him. And if your faith is resourceful, you will do like Paul. You'll understand exactly what God wants for you. It was that resolve of faith, that resourcefulness of faith, that put Paul on the path to Jerusalem despite the persecution that awaited him. That may apply to you. That may be a deterrence to you. That's between you and your Lord. Paul on the path to Jerusalem. It was that resourceful faith that prevented Jesus from asking for 12 legions of angels to deliver him from the cross, even though he could have asked. And whatever he asked, he would have gotten. Faith is resourceful in that it does not put the burden on others. Faith is resourceful to find a way to be faithful, to be holy, regardless of the obstacles. Resourceful faith always seeks to take advantage of the power of the Lord ever present to heal it. It doesn't deter from it. And my prayer for each one of you, that despite whatever the odds may be in your life, that you will not pass by the power of the Lord that is present today to heal you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God and what Christ does in our lives. As we go to partake of the Lord's table, we should be cognizant of the fact that the power of the Lord is present to heal. And that healing is first of all spiritual healing, the forgiveness of sins, the restoration of faithfulness, the triumph of a Christian life. And help us, Lord, not to be like those Pharisees who reason things out, or like that crowd only curious about the spectacular. The opportunities was greatest for them, and they still missed it. How great is the opportunity for Christians here in the United States? How easy it is to find a church at almost every corner. Find people who are well-educated, who give scripture, sit in comfort inside a building. Programs for every age group and multiple opportunities to be together. They find work. They are not persecuted. The hospital is as the stone throw. And yet, in so many instances, those who have the greatest opportunities are those who fumble the most. I pray for my brothers and sisters that they will take advantage of these opportunities that you give them, and that they will grab that opportunity with a very resourceful faith that is not deterred by the obstacles. Magnify your name, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.